What's up, everybody? It is Casey with Two Worlds Podcast, and with me, as always, it's the Yamcha, the guy who I would let Wolfang fist to me. It's Jake.
Also, I'm Poir.
Boy, you really fucked that up.
Yeah, I know. That was funny, though.
Yeah. So anyway, R.I.P. Akira Toriyama.
We should have done that a little bit later, maybe, after, you know.
You already butchered it, so.
I saw
the laughs. We are very sad about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I saw a really funny, like, cartoon that he had made before he passed. It's like Me in Paradise. It's like, it's, you know, like the little robot version of him that he'd always draw. And it's like dirty magazine, cigarettes, alcohol, or something like that. I'm like, that's awesome.
That's so funny. Like,
you're basically just saying you were Roshi, is what you're saying.
Yeah. But you know what? He earned it.
Hell yeah.
Oh, man. So yeah, how's it going, man? How was your day?
Well, you know, not so bad. Pretty uneventful. Yours? I hear you killed a bird or something today?
Yeah, so I went golfing today. I scored my personal best. I shot a 102. Was trying really hard to break 100. But yeah, I also shot my first birdie today, which is extremely exciting. I went with a couple of my buddies that I usually go golfing with, and when it happened, we just lost our minds.
Y'all just kiss?
Yeah, we just kissed on the green. It was super horny.
People going by like, oh, stop it. Like, he got a birdie. And they're like, sorry, I didn't know.
Carry on, gentlemen. Yeah,
carry on. This is fine. That's what bros do for birdies.
Yeah.
When you get an eagle, whew.
If only.
Clapping them cheeks.
Yeah, the best part was that it was on my favorite hole at this course, too.
Yeah.
So I got, I used my driver off the tee box, and then I used my 5-wood, which got it all the way up to like the fringe, which is that area right outside the green, but not in the fairway or the rough.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I kind of like where it's sitting, even though it's not on the green. So I'm going to use my putter anyways. And it was like a 30-foot putt, man. And it just beelined for the hole and fell right in from outside the green.
Nice,
it was,
dude,
so
awesome.
Crazy. Oh, I couldn't believe it.
So, dude, I've started watching The Dumbest Thing, and you might enjoy it. It's on Instagram, and it's like, if you're actually interested, I'll show you, I'll send it to you, because I don't know the name, but it's these like mini golf, like these guys and guys and sometimes girls will play mini golf tournaments against each other, and it's like, I'm like, this is like weirdly compelling, and I always want to know who wins, even though it's the same courses every time. But yeah, they'll just be playing these mini golf things. I'm like, this is so stupid, but
dude,
I love it.
Mini golf's hella fun.
Yeah, it's just, I'm just like, why do I care that they're having so much trouble getting around a damn T-Rex? Like,
I know. I mean, dude, so like, I'm not saying mini golf's easy by any means, but golf is so hard.
Yeah.
It's so freaking hard. And I mean, putting, I think putting is insanely hard. Like, you can get to the green and, you know, two or three shots, super. But then if you freaking four putt once you're on the green, it's like, well, shit, the rest of it doesn't matter. So
yeah,
I know that like mini golf tournaments are a big thing. And I've seen a couple of videos where there's like a big international one.
That's crazy.
And it's like, you pretty much, like, the winner just gets a hole in one on every, like, if you don't hole in one every one of them, you're just not going to win.
Yeah, that does sound like something like a fucking, like a blonde Finnish or German dude. That, like, that's the one that's doing that. And you're like, This is ridiculous.
Yeah. they just have all the equations running through their mind. Yeah, I don't know. It's crazy, but I love it. It was a good time. It was a really nice day for it.
Yeah, it was today, man.
We when we got there, our tea time was like 8:40, and we were going to play a full 18 today. So when we got there, it was like 40 degrees.
Yeah.
And then by the time we stopped, it was like 65. It's like, holy shit.
And did you start with like English breakfast or did you just go straight green?
Huh?
For tea time?
Nope. No breakfast.
Oh, okay.
But man, I gotta say, I used to not bring any snacks with me. And I would just be miserable by the end of it. But now I try to keep like 3 or 4 granola bars in my golf bag whenever I get a little hungry.
Yeah,
that's a game changer.
Yeah, that's how you got the birdie. But no, you got to go to the fucking cart girl. Be like, hey, cart girl, give me one of them sandwiches and sit on my lap. You got to be that creepy guy.
Well, one, I would never be that guy. And two, the place that we usually go, it's not the kind of place that has a cart girl.
Like, oh, cart girl. It's like this 50-year-old named Fran. She's like, what? Like, sit on my lap. It's like, put your cigarette out on your forehead.
Oh, man. Yeah. I mean, you could stop and get like a hot dog or whatever at the clubhouse. They call it at the turn, which means after you're done with the front nine. Before you play the back nine, you can go and get one, but I'm cheap, so
yeah. And way your belly is too, a clubhouse hot dog on the nine on the ninth hole might not be the best for it.
That's true. Yeah,
that's one of those ones where you'd want to experiment with that first and make sure your stomach can handle it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I usually just pack like a peanut butter sandwich and then, you know, a handful of granola bars and that'll get me through.
I gotcha.
But anyway, enough about golf, I suppose.
Yeah.
But gosh, there's not much to talk about this week, there, man. So,
oh, really quick, since I didn't write it down and you didn't write it down in yours, Avatar Last Airbender has been renewed for the next 2 seasons.
Oh, nice. I didn't see that.
Yeah, they pulled a prank on the whole cast. They had Fire Lord Ozai go on the Zoom with all of them. He's like, yeah, they told me that, you know, I'm not allowed to say anything about the renewal. We're not going to be renewed for just 1 season. We're being renewed for 2 seasons.
That's good. It's, have you had the chance to check any of it out yet?
I've just seen clips online. I haven't got to watch it yet. It's like that guy, he's just too darn charismatic to be Ozai. Like, I'm, because it's like I saw the clip.
He's not, though.
Because I saw the clip of him burning Zuko's face, and I'm like, man, this was much more brutal in the cartoon.
It was, but he is definitely still a total dick.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah,
because he's like crying and shit when he's burning his face. And I'm like, that's pretty lame.
Yeah, that was like such a quick scene. I really don't even remember it. I remember it being distinctly longer in the animated version.
Yeah,
but I also get why you wouldn't necessarily show much more of that in a live action version. That can be kind of scarring for kids, I imagine.
Well, what was weird though is like they still showed more of him being burned than they did in the other, because it was like really quick, you know, like Zuko ready to fight Admiral Admiral Zhao at that time. General Bob, he was ready to fight him, and then it was the Emperor instead. Then it's just him like basically begging the whole time, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah.
And then then as soon as he's being hit, it's you see Iroh and you see the shadows.
Yeah.
And like that would be just do it that way. That's a good way of doing it.
Yeah, I agree. But I won't lie, I am excited that it got renewed.
Yeah. No, I think it's couldn't be worse. And I really want them to do what people are saying online they need to do, is have the have them watch the play and have the cast from the first movie as them in the play. I think that'd be hilarious too.
That would be so incredible. I don't know. I mean, the cast would have to be pretty good sports to do that, I think.
I think they have to, like, I think they are, because it's just like, so since we'll talk about this too, but since Akira Toriyama passed away, the dude that played Goku in the Dragon Ball movie, he knows how bad that movie is. Like, he, you know, is like, sorry, we failed you so miserably on the movie. You know, he said that in his, I'm like, that's hilarious. And, you know,
yeah,
cool that he's actually apologizing.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I had not seen that idea online. I think that's super funny.
Yeah.
But all right. Well, yeah. So Akira Toriyama died this week. That's it's one of, like, I don't get too beat up over celebrity deaths. Like, I definitely, like, Casey and I will talk and be like, oh man, you know, it's a damn shame, you know, I'm bummed out. But this one actually hurt. Mm-hmm. This one actually hurt. I mean, gosh, I know Casey watched, you know, Dragon Ball Z on Toonami when we were kids. So, you know, that was really, at least for me, it was probably different in your house since your dad was into anime. But for me, that was the one that, like, really got me into anime.
That's the one that I think got America in anime. I'm not even, like, joking. Like, yeah. I think that was the first big one, because I remember, like, early on, I think before this, we'd watch the Action Channel, and that would every once in a while have anime. Like, we had the Tank Police, I think maybe was before that, and like Gunsmith Cats, and then this show on popped up on Cartoon Network when we got home from school one day. Like, a green guy and a guy with weird hair fighting another guy with a weird hair. What?
Yeah, it was just so good. And I mean, you could list so many characters from that show as like a favorite, but I did a little post on my personal Instagram earlier in the week, but Trunks was always just the coolest to me. Whenever I saw that guy, I was just like, wow, this is just the coolest looking dude that I've ever seen, and I have to watch this a lot more.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, it's a shame. I mean, and it's not even just Dragon Ball, right? I mean, he did work for Chrono Trigger and Dragon Quest.
Which you're a big fan of that, right?
I mean, I played it, thought it was super cool. I played some Dragon Quest too and thought that was cool. But they're all, you know, distinctly his art style.
Yeah.
And that is just what's so good. So yeah, it's a shame. He was truly a master of his craft.
Yeah, and it's kind of a shame he didn't really like Dragon Ball Z that much by the end. I mean, I know he was excited about this new series, and I did read the storyboarding was all done for it. So, like, it's his vision that they're gonna finish putting together and stuff, and sadly he's not gonna get to see it, but at least he knows how it's ending and all that stuff, you know. But I'm thinking about getting a tattoo. For, like, since he's passed away, because I like to get, you know, giant monster tattoos anyway. And he actually drew Gigan, a bunch of different Gamera bad guys, Gamera and Godzilla. And, like, he's got this little Gamera that he drew that I was like, I'll do that because that's funny. And it's also, like, his style.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So I'm like, that'd be fun, you know, just to have that. I found, like, that, found this picture that's like, that's perfect. That'll be easy for the, you know, tattoo person. So I might
nice.
Do that.
Yeah. I'll have to Google his Godzilla, because that sounds amazing.
It's right with this. I can show it to you.
Oh, okay.
Too. Yeah. Cause, and then he did, like, cause, like, in the background of a lot of like episodes of early Dragon Ball, like at the tournaments and stuff. Gigan was, or not Gigan, King Ghidorah was there.
You're right. I do remember that.
And I think Rodan might have been too. And I think Giron.
Yeah. I mean, as you know, that's like my favorite era of of that universe, so I always loved those tournaments.
Yeah.
But alrighty. There's not much else for news. But these two comic bits are pretty neat. So the first one I'll talk about, Colin Bunn is returning to Deadpool. It's going to come out in July. Mike Shelfer is going to be doing the art, but it's just a one-shot. It's Deadpool role plays the Marvel Universe, and it's going to be Deadpool essentially playing D&D.
Nice.
And like there's a comic story by Colin and Shelfer, but then there's going to be like a full-fledged standalone RPG adventure in it where you can play like Deadpool and his team that's in the book, or you can use your own characters as well. But there's going to be like a hardcover version if you want to get hardcore with it. But I think it's a really cool idea. I hope that that does well for them and that they do some more with that.
I'd be curious how that works, you know, with the D&D part of it.
Me too. I want to get one. And I think if it sounds fun, we should run it on this show.
I'd be game.
Yeah. And if we need multiple members, we'll get the testing room boys in here with us too. So, because it sounds like it's at least Deadpool, Wolverine, Spider-Man, and She-Hulk. But there might be another member or two in there too. So,
okay.
Could be pretty fun.
Yeah. Now, you said Colin Bunn returns. Did you read any of the Colin Bunn Deadpool when it was first go around, and you know, were you a fan of it?
I think he does Deadpool well. I'm pretty sure he did Kills the Marvel Universe.
Oh, okay.
Which is not a big book at all. It's a pretty small trade, but it's pretty fun. I mean, it's just him fighting a bunch of Marvel people. But you know, is the writing going to knock your socks off? No, but it's got some good jokes and the action's really good.
So. Yeah, I feel you, man.
All right. And then the other one, something that I think both of us are excited for. DC is going to do a Black Label Zatanna original graphic novel that's coming out in June. It's going to be written by Mariko Tamaki with Javier Rodriguez on the art. It's going to take place in Vegas, and it promises a mix of spectacle and horror. And it's about damn time that we get some more Zatanna. I'm excited.
It's just like, and I mean this in the best way possible, because I really, really liked Tamaki when she did that She-Hulk book. But then like so much of her other crap has been just that, demon piles of crap. So I'm hoping we get the good Tamaki, but holy crap. I have a feeling this is going to be a steaming pile of crap.
I don't know. I want to give her the benefit of the doubt because she can write good stuff when she's being serious. And obviously, you know, this Black Label book is going to be a little more serious in tone, I think. So especially if she's incorporating some elements of horror, like in, you know, dark magic and stuff like that. I just want it to be good.
The thing we have to worry about, because I hear people, and it's not always the best people to be listening to, so I really shouldn't be listening, but they always say a big problem with Tamaki, because I don't know her personally, but they say that she self-inserts a lot, and that was like kind of the problem with Crush and Lobo, because it's like she's like, and you know, making Crush basically her. And then I guess she did that Starfire book where it was like Starfire's daughter is like a weird little troll, and everyone's like, ah, Tamaki's just self-inserting again. That's why it sucks. So it's like, as long as she doesn't do that, you know, it might be okay.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? Hopefully the Black Label stuff has some better editors on it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, that is pretty much it for the
Yeah.
news, man. So what'd you read this week?
So I read Weapon X-Men, New Burn, or issue one, New Burn, issue 15, Batman, number 145, The Sensational She-Hulk, number 6, Shazam, number 9, Doctor Strange 13, and The Last Ronin, issue, number 2, Re-Evolution, number 1. Don't know about that title.
Yeah.
What about you, bud?
I read Doctor Strange 13, Last Ronin 2, number 1, Sensational She-Hulk 6, Shazam 9, Birds of Prey 7, Dark Souls Willow King 2, and The Batman First Night number 1.
All right, man. Which one do you want to go first, or you want me to? Because I was keeping track, and we got the same amount of shit.
Well, I'll defer to the lady.
All righty, man. Don't assume my gender. I am now a man.
I apologize.
But Weapon X-Men issue 1 by Christos Gage and Yildiray Senar on the art, and so Phoenix is like, oh, I got this really powerful bad guy. That's a multiversal threat. So I am gonna get a band of Wolverines to fight him. It's like, you remember the first that you remember Onslaught comic book? Like, you know how they beat him? Just a group of Wolverines. That makes sense. Fucking stupid. But she gets a zombie Wolverine, because what could go wrong? A fat Wolverine, old man Logan, because it's like, yeah, he's really cool and everyone likes him, so we gotta keep bringing him back. Lady Wolverine, and then Weapon X Wolverine, and yeah, she explains what's going on, and then they go to this world where everything's kind of awesome, and they, you know, are like, oh, hey, everything's pretty awesome, but then it turns out Onslaught's there already, and he's taken over a bunch of people. And yeah, they're like, oh, this place is already infected, we gotta blow it up. And so that's like, well, they lost, you know, it's like that type of thing. And so then now they're gonna go to the next planet. It's fun, you know. I mean, it's a good time, like, it's just like, boy, if you could get anyone from any universe across the whole multiverse, I wouldn't just have got a handful of Wolverines to take down Onslaught. Like, that's a terrible team, even in Capcom versus Marvel too. I mean, Wolverine's fun to play as, but come on, you got to get Hulk and Cable. Like, those are your go-tos in Capcom Marvel.
I mean, I always love hearing Wolverine go, Berserker
I know
Barrage.
that is true, but but the combos just weren't there, you know. So yeah, like, that's the one thing. Like, they're like, she's like, ah, no, I'm pretty, my Phoenix Force is telling me Wolverines. It's like, well, don't fucking listen to it. Listen to your gut. Like, come on. What are they gonna do to Onslaught? But it gave me Exiled vibes, and that made me, have the warm and fuzzies. So I'm gonna go 8 out of 10.
Nice. I mean, I'm glad you rated it so high after hating the idea so much.
Well, it's like, it's dumb. And like, the Exiles actually already did this kind of better, because there was this one time where they were go like the they had the main group kicked out, like the bugs did that ran everything, and then they were like, ah, the crystal says we need a team of Wolverines, and so they just kept sending like different Wolverines, and they all just kept fucking dying. And so it ended up like they got this new team, and then like Blink helped them out too, because like I said, they just kept fucking dying, or whoever was with, whoever was one of the main characters was helped them out too, and they ended up stopping at that time, most of them dying except for James, who was like Wolverine, and like little kid Wolverine still in his like sleep shirt, like the really like something that Scrooge McDuck would wear. Like, that was what he was wearing,
Right, that's
and he was like the
awesome.
only survivor.
Yeah, Is it just a one shot or is it going to keep going?
This is, I think, 4 issues.
Okay. That makes sense. Okay. Batman the First Knight, number one, by Dan Jurgens and Mike Perkins.
Perkins and Jurgens.
This book was pretty cool. I really like the art, and I know Casey would too. It's very, very, it's just like 1940s Gotham. It's just a noir story, an Elseworlds kind of noir story. Like that, you know, nice. It's just very like dark and kind of sketchy.
Yeah.
But the faces are good too, and Batman looks cool. He's got his original costume, you know, that comes with like the purple gloves and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Honestly, it reads a lot like Sandman Mystery Theater, which is pretty cool. You know, it's a Black Label book, so there's some bad words in it, some pretty gruesome murders, honestly. And I just liked it. Dan Jurgens, he does a good job with dialogue, and the premise of the story is cool. And I'm going to keep going with it. I really enjoyed it. So, you know, I think it's also earned an 8 out of 10.
Nice, man. So did you have to sleep with your nightlight on after that, or were you okay?
I was okay.
Oh, you're good. I'm glad.
Yeah. Thank you.
So next up, it is New Burn by Chip Zdarsky and Jacob Phillips. And speaking of things with dirty language and whatnot, New Burn murders a lot of people and they get very upset about it. Yeah, because it's
basically not a good guy.
No, I mean, the whole premise of the comic is he was an ex-cop who didn't really like that there was, you know, bad cops, and he quit, and he's now like works for all of the mobs, and he just was like set, you know, like if what they're about to wage war or whatever, he can, you know, he's like their whatever you call it, like a person they talk to, and you know, mediator basically. He's got dirt on all of them too, and one of the guys is pissed off at him because he covered up his son's murder, because New Burn's partner murdered him when, you know, was responsible for it. And so they're now like mad at New Burn. New Burn's not having it, and he's just fucking straight up killing them all. And it's, you know, pretty dope. And then the backup story, the D&D robbery thing, which it's like, yeah, this is okay, but I don't really care about that. But it's good. This comic is good. It's just the amount of times it comes out is not good. That's the only real downside to this book as a whole. The art's right. Cool. The characters are cool. So I'm going to go probably 8.5, really close to a 9 out of 10.
Very nice. All right. Dark Souls, The Willow King, number 2. It's written by George Mann with art by Mon House. And I like this book. I didn't love it as much as the first one, because the first one was kind of a cool mythology story. However, the art in this is just so good. I love the art in this book. And the team assembled to kill the Willow King. They're just hacking and slashing their way through this undead army, and they hear the story about a giant who had like a city on its back, and they're like, oh, I guess we need to go to the city that's on the giant's back. And it turns out that that's not where the Willow King is, but he has created a city of the undead inside the corpse of that giant with the city on its back. So that's where they have to go. And that's kind of how it wraps up. So I'm looking forward to them going to that city and fighting whatever monstrosities they find there. But still really good, man. It's going to get an 8.5 for me.
Nice. So I thought of the dumbest thing when you were talking about the giant with the city on his back. Sir Mix-a-Lot in that time is like, city got back.
You're right, that was pretty dumb.
Yeah. Okay. So Batman 145. This is by Chip Zdarsky and Jorge Jimenez on the art. We get the fun little Batman fail-safe Zurinar
Wow,
combo.
cool. Sounds super fun.
I mean, I thought the costume looked neat, but so yeah, Batman's in prison. Real Batman's in prison while fail-safe Zinar is out causing a ruckus. And yeah, it's neat. I'll say that. I mean, I'm like, it's not like 100% Batman just being like, I got, I know how to stop this, and like how it was with, our fail-safe Batman being like, I can stop you because I know this and blah blah blah. Like, what was that stupid shit? At least now it's like Batman's getting back to it, so it might be interesting. And then we got a Joker backup story by Zdarsky and Michel Bendini on the art, and that was whatever. It's perfectly, perfectly fine, very forgettable. But yeah, I mean, this is just it's fine. Nothing that I would say, Jake, you need to get back to it, buddy. But I would say
I'm shocked.
I mean, it's fine. You might like it, bud. So I think that earns it a 6.5 out of 10.
I'm probably not going to jump back in.
That's fine. More for me.
it is. Okay, Birds of Prey, number 7. It's written by Kelly Thompson with art by Javier Pina. So there is a different artist in this one. However, it's real good. Like, I like it a lot. I would not be upset at all if it just, whenever one needed a break, the other one took over.
Nice.
But anyway, this one, like, people are kind of targeting ex Birds of Prey members. So, Dinah and Babs are gonna team up with Barda and Cassandra to figure out what's going on. And the next one being targeted is Vixen. So they go talk to Vixen, who I guess is a clothing designer now.
Yeah, she's aged
And
out of being a model, I guess.
right. And she's like, okay, to they're like targeting her clothing business. They're like trying to destroy her empire. And that sounds like she's a bad guy. She's not. She just has a clothing empire.
Yeah.
And she's like, I know how to draw them out. Well, all the Birds of Prey members are gonna dress up in my brand new lingerie line. Yeah. And that's how it ends, is them like coming out onto the runway in their lingerie and like, I'm here for it. Because man, art's real good, but story was fine too. I'm looking forward to what happens next. So I'm gonna give it a 9 out of 10. It was good stuff. I
You're
really like this
like
book.
reading it, like sweating profusely and real. Like, what are you reading? Like,
Nothing, don't look.
nothing. I was just thinking, so I've listened to this one podcast where they talk about giant monster movies, and like, I don't know why I listen to it, because I always yell. I'm like, why are you grading it that way? You're so stupid, like that.
Yeah.
I'm curious if like anyone listens to us that's like, why are you guys giving this such a bad grade? Batman was pretty good this week.
Look, and if that's the case, I'm glad that you like it.
Yeah, I want to hear how we're wrong.
Yeah.
All right, so what order do you want to do these last four in?
Oh, let's go Shazam, She-Hulk, Toidles, Doctor Strange.
All right, buddy. So to start with, Shazam, Don't Fear the Creeper by old Marky Mark Wade and his funky bunch, Emmanuel Lupacino. And What'd you think of it though, man?
You know, it was pretty fun. There were definitely some hijinks and some goofy moments, but it's the creeper, so
yeah,
that's gonna happen. Yeah, I mean, I just liked having the creeper in something.
Yep, same. I liked it a whole bunch. Like the way he tricked Shazam into saying Shazam
was so really stupid.
Funny. So funny. And then like another part that was really funny is like they make fun of Metamorpho pretty good on the news, and then at the end when Metamorpho's like, who you called Souffle Face?
Yeah, I know, right?
So funny. Like the only part of it that I was like, that's kind of weird was how like just easy it was for him to be the bad guy, because he's like, I just said my name and it shined a lot, and he's now beat, you know. I thought that was kind of dumb, but this is just fun.
It was my only like minor gripe is like the way that this speeding train crashed when they were trying to stop Shadow Thief. It's like, it's probably like a lot of dead people.
Well, since they were shadows at the time.
Yeah. You
know, that's the one saving point. You can be like, oh, well, actually, afterwards, now they're just kind of like sat on each other weird because they, you know, it all fell around. But other than that, they're fine.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that makes sense and that's fine. But it's like, you know, if Dan Mora is not going to be on the book, Emanuela Lupacino is like such a good replacement.
Yeah.
She is a hell of an artist.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, it looks like we get a new writer starting next issue.
Yeah, I saw that. Who was it again though?
Josie Campbell.
Oh, okay. Which I'm fine with Josie Campbell because she's very good.
Yeah, she did New Champion of Shazam,
yeah,
right?
She did.
So definitely more than fine with that.
Yeah.
Hopefully that means maybe we get some more Mary in the spotlight.
Right.
So where are you at with it, man?
I'm probably at a 9. I liked it a lot.
Yeah. Oh, hell. Me too. Why not?
Couple of nines. Someone listening right now going, oh, these idiots, that book was a 7 if you ask me.
At best. All right. Sensational She-Hulk number 6 by Rainbow Rowell and Ig Guara. This book was also pretty silly.
Yeah, it was good.
I'll be honest, at first when she was like, Jack, let's go on a vacation, I was like, just dump him. He sucks.
I know this isn't how it is, but I picture you like sitting on the bed, feet like kicking up, your hair in rollers, like you're drinking like a glass of wine, like just dump him.
Dude, I mean, you know, when he bailed on going to the club with them, I was like that.
Yeah. I love that she's got the flying car, you know, still that's going in outer space.
Yeah. I'll say this. So I was super annoyed when, you know, she got all glammed up and he didn't change. And I was like, dude, if he pulls some of that, I'm just not comfortable shit. Like, I'm over it. But he did change, so that was good.
Yeah.
Also, can I just say, in every Marvel book I read this week was this just like, I'm going to read this because this looks awesome.
Yeah. I have a feeling it's going to be like, you're going to be like, oh yeah, this is fine. Like how, like a lot of the Fantastic Four has been.
Maybe, but I love Sue. She looks great on that Alex Ross question. Yeah. Alex Ross cover. And it looks like a noir story. So yeah. I'm all for it. But anyway, this book was fine. I kind of wish that there would be some sort of development between her and Mallory, because that's been the same thing for the last two series here. And then it's just one of those things where it's like, and She-Hulk says, like you have to, you had to have known what you were getting when when we signed up for this. So it's just annoying that Mallory is just such a bitch about it all the time.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, what, like you know what happens around She-Hulk. If you don't want that around your stuff, then don't ask her to work for you.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We'll see how the next issue of their vacation goes. It's a nice little change of pace. I'll say that. I liked it more than I've liked the last couple. I just wasn't super hot on Mallory, and I wasn't super hot on the multi-page chat with the other gal at the bar. It's like, okay, if her and Jack are on a fun vacation, then let's have a fun vacation.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, it's clear that that lady was in the old Jack of Hearts comics. It's been a very long time since I've read Dad's back issues of those. So I don't remember her, but doesn't mean shit.
Yeah.
Because also with Dad, he, you know, like him getting comics was a lot like how I used to get comics, except it was like wherever he could get them, he would just be like, oh yeah, well I got these and this is what I'm getting, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, I might not even read her, but it's clear she was in Jack's past.
You know, as much as I love Jennifer, a part of me wishes he's like, oh yeah, this is my old girlfriend and I love her and I'm leaving and now I'm out of the series, bye.
Or he's like, this is my wife.
Yeah,
I know you're you know, a lawyer, so how about you divorce me from this old cow? And and she's like, excuse me, we don't talk about women that way. I'm divorcing her from you, you manatee.
Yeah, also what a cover. I love Jen Bartel's covers.
Yeah,
She-Hulk's just gorgeous on all of them. I'm gonna give this probably a 7.
I was feeling about a 7.5. Just I wanted to like it more than I did.
Yep.
But something that I did enjoy, but I am gonna have some stuff to say about it. The Last Ronin 2 Re-Evolution issue 1 by Tom Waltz and Kevin Eastman, with Esu and Isaac Escorza on some of the art, and then Ben Bishop on the rest of it. How was this, man?
You know, you're gonna have liked it more than me.
Yeah.
The story is totally fine. The dialogue is totally fine. It's just chock full of mostly characters that I am not that attached to.
Yeah, I get that. Well, which character are you attached to? April, and that's it, right?
I mean, yeah, but like, like I think that the group of turtles are cool. Like I'm attached to them because they're turtles and they're cool.
Yeah, I gotcha.
But it's just one of those things where, like, having not really read Turtles comics, it's just a slow start for me. I have to get more invested.
Yeah, I mean, this one's gonna be a slow start. Like I got a head start just because I read the Lost Days.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, there's, you know, you get more, you know, you know more about the world. But as far as anything else, I don't, as far as I know, none of these people are really like mainstays in the Turtle books outside of April, because it's, you know, all alternate Earth type of shit. But I had thought,
I mean, whether that's the case or not, it's still just like, oh, well, you know, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, it's like I said, if you had read the other Last Ronin, you'd know, like, you'd have a little bit more. The world to be a little more fleshed out for you. But like, what I think is kind of crazy is I always assume this was the Mirage verse, like the way that one ended, but it's not, because so they do the backstory. That's the and they mention how Oroku Saki was the son of the one that got that, you know, Splinter or Splinter's master killed, and it's not, that was his brother in the Mirage verse. So this is like a completely separate universe than that ended it on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought that was kind of interesting, but there's like 50 different turtle verses, so, you know, makes sense.
I will say this splash page, I loved the art here.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Very, very good stuff.
And I like Casey's outfit, even though it's like, you know, you're doing street fights. You should probably protect your whole face, girl, and also not show off cleavage, girl, but whatever. You're not bulletproof. It looks cool, though.
It does. I mean, she's like Casey Jones mixed with Huntress almost. Yeah.
Which, by the way, Huntress also has like one of the hottest but worst, least practical costume.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
It's like, are you bulletproof? No, I'm a human. It's like, well, why is your belly out, you idiot?
Right. And also, why does your eye mask go up into two giant points?
Right.
It looks cool.
It does. But yeah, so like we get, you know, the turtles finally get to fight for their first time too. And, you know, it was neat. I like all of the turtle designs and stuff. They bicker like kids, and it's pretty cool.
I also like that they are definitely four different turtles.
Yeah.
Like different kinds of turtles.
Yeah.
It's the same turtle, but their headbands are different colors. Mm. These are very different turtles.
Yeah. 100%. So like, this is a solid first issue. It does a good job of like, even if you didn't read the other Last Ronin, it tells you everything that happened. So like for me, it was like kind of like, oh, there's a bit too much of this shit going on because I've read this all. But yeah, it, you know, other than that, it's perfectly good. Like, I'm probably gonna give it an 8.5.
Yeah, it's a little lower for me. That does bug me because it's like, who's picking up a book called The Last Ronin 2 Re-Evolution Number 1, having not read The Last Ronin?
Yeah, so no, I get that.
So all that extra stuff, it's like, come on. But whatever. I'm gonna give it a 6.5.
Okay.
All right. And finally, we're ending on Doctor Strange number 13, written by Jed McKay, art by Pasquale Ferry. I fucking love this book.
Yeah, I knew you would. I did too.
It was so, so fun. Doctor Strange essentially is just like, oh man, there's this game called Cobalorum, and you know, it's basically D&D, but these four kids that are playing it get sucked into it, kind of like Jumanji, and Doctor Strange has to assemble a team to play by the rules of Cobalorum or whatever I just said to rescue the kids. So he needs a magic user, a priest, a fighter, and a thief. So he's the magic user. He gets Black Cat to be the thief. He gets Hunter's Moon to be the priest. And he gets Taskmaster to be the fighter. And the team dynamic is very funny. Hunter's Moon is the straight man. Taskmaster is the wild card. And, you know, Black Cat is... I would say almost equally as silly, just in a different way.
Yeah.
And I don't know shit about Black Cat, so I don't know if that's accurate for her or not, but I know Jed McKay wrote like two series of her, so I assume that that's how she is.
That's for sure how she is now. Like, you know, after he wrote her, because it's just like, I remember reading her like in Spider-Man books, and like she had some funny moments, but it was more Dan Slott going, oh yeah, you do want to kiss Peter, don't you? The nerdy guy gets the girl. Because, you know, he's self-inserting.
Yeah.
But
definitely way more personality here.
Yeah, 100%. But this is one of my favorite parts, was Clea is not happy with Doctor Strange. And she goes, and how exactly do you know this other woman with white hair, Steven? He's like, Clea, I assure you. And then Felicia's like, yo, Strange, get on the good foot. I want to get back for happy hour. And Clay's like, oh, never mind. She's horrible.
Yeah.
Now, what'd you think of their costume design?
Oh, I loved it.
I figured you would. I was like, I don't know. if he's gonna like all of them, but I know that Taskmaster he'll probably get a commission of here in the future.
Yeah, the Taskmaster was the coolest, followed by Black Cat. I mean, her thief costume is awesome. Strange and Hunter's Moon, like, they're cool, but they're whatever, you know?
Like, Hunter's Moon is like, he looked cool before, he looked cool now. Strange, I'm so-so with. But then, like, until you see, like, the Doctor Strange in the cover for the next issue, and you're like, oh, no, Alex Ross doing it. It's just so fucking cool, because Alex Ross goes hard as hell.
He does. He makes all four of them look so fucking rad, dude.
Yeah.
I can't wait. I really thought this was going to be a one and done.
Yeah.
I kind of hope that it's like four issues.
I don't. You know why? Because this is my main knock for this book. His fucking dog is in a goddamn mirror universe and he doesn't give a shit. He's playing Dungeons and fucking Dragons instead of being a good dog owner.
Mm-hmm. I agree. He's just like, oh, that silly ghost dog Bats. He's around.
He's like, what's the worst that could happen if he die?
Gonna play Kovalorum. Bye. Now I get that. However, I'm selfish and I want an arc of this. So we'll see what happens. And it does say Kovalorum part one. So hopefully it's not just a two-parter. But yeah. But no, I'm all about it. I love, let me find my favorite part of Taskmaster. The Strange was like, has any of you played fantasy role-playing games? And Felicia's like, do I look like a nerd? And Tasky says, yeah, I dated in high school, Doc. He's like, did you really? He's like, I mean, I got memory problems, but probably. So funny. I like it. And Strange calls them secret defenders at one point. Fuck it. Let this spin into a secret defenders book that Marvel will run for five issues. Like, yeah. I'll read it. I think it's great. So
Jed McKay's writing it, I'd read it. It would really depend on who
well,
else.
Well, that's what know. I mean. That's what yeah. I mean. I would want Jed McKay to write it because he's very good. I have no qualms with this book. I'm going to give it a 10. Definitely my pick of the week.
Going 9.5.
Okay. What'd you say your pick was?
That'll be my pick of the week.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Glad we both liked it. I was like, yeah. I don't know if Casey's going to love it like I did.
No, I really, really enjoyed it. It's just, it's like Bats erasure, you know? Like,
yep.
How dare they?
And I totally get that. Totally get that.
What are you excited about, though, man?
I'm going to say, you know, it's hard not to say Thundercats again.
Fucking say it then, bud.
Fine. I'm going to go Thundercats. I'm going to go Sandman. And, fuck it. Thor.
Right on. Well, then I'm going to go Fish Flies, Ghost Rider, Final Vengeance, and then let's say One Hand.
Yeah. Dang, I thought you were going to say Power Pack.
Oof. You know, I'm waiting on the trade. I'm afraid. I'm on the bus waiting.
I'm just waiting. Gonna be waiting a while.
But Fantastic Four time. Kira Toriyama passed away. Just tell me your favorite Dragon Ball Z things. Or Dragon Ball. Or Dragon Ball Super. Or even GT.
It's not GT. But I'm going to say that the final world tournament in Dragon Ball, I thought was such a cool fucking ending for Dragon Ball. Stakes were low. And I say that now. At the time, the stakes were not low, but now it's like they're traveling to other universes to find stronger fighters. Back then, it was just like, he has to beat Tien because Tien's the baddest motherfucker around.
I thought the last thing was Piccolo because like he fought.
Or yeah, I'm sorry. I was Piccolo, I'm thinking of the other one, but still, it's like those are your big ones, right?
It's like Tien was a fucking jerk. He broke Yamcha's arm. This is, you have to win, Goku.
Yeah, he was not nice, but it all worked out. They all became friends later. Also, I saw a really funny thing. It was a picture of Tien Yamcha. Oh gosh, what's Tien's friend's name?
Chiaotzu.
And I was like, gonna tell my kids this was the Suicide Squad. I thought that was funny. So anyway, that I'm gonna just say Trunks, right? Because I just gushed whatever about
I was
him.
Being as vague as possible.
I'm gonna say Dragon Ball Super because there was a long period of time where I didn't have any Dragon Ball, and then Casey was telling me how cool Super was, and I was like, okay, well, the season's done or whatever, I'll just binge it all. And I watched all those episodes in like 2 days because I couldn't get enough. And I'm like, I'm back in, baby. I'm all about it.
Isn't that what kind of started you on the insufferable track of being, oh, I only like the subs now? Because you were like a dub boy for the longest time. And then you're like, I need to get caught up and I'm watching subs now.
I mean, with Dragon Ball, sure. But I've said multiple times that I like the dub of Dragon Ball, and I'm fine with either one.
Yeah.
And then my last one, I'm going to go with a video game. So I like a lot of the Dragon Ball games. The Budokai games are great, but there were two games on my Game Boy Advance called The Legacy of Goku 1 and 2. And that was essentially you playing through all of the sagas. And it was so much fun. It was like open world. They told the stories very well. You could explore places like in cities that you've always wanted to explore that they didn't show in the shows. And I just loved them. They were really big games, like big RPG games for the Game Boy Advance. And you got a ton of hours and content out of those.
I had that. I remember you had to do Snake Way, and that was like fucking long.
Yeah. Some of those fights were really hard. I remember really struggling against, was it Android 19 and 20, like the old man and the fat one, like the first two that you run into. And that was a hard fight. And I remember finally finding a spot, because you're fighting down in that rocky like canyon. There was one spot where you could get behind a pillar and like cheese it to where they couldn't touch you, but you could touch them.
Yeah.
And it took forever, but it got the job done. So nice. I think they're great games though.
I only had the first one because I don't remember the second one, but yeah, I remember, because I remember Snake Way though. I'm like, this is silly.
It's been forever since I played them, but I want to say that 2 really cleaned up some of the not great features of 1.
But for me, it's going to be just like, so when we first watched it, it was just like me and Nick and Liz, we all got home from school and we're like, this is the coolest thing ever. And I was like, that green guy, that's me. Like, that's basically how I was when I watched it. Like, yeah, that's me 100%. That's who I am forever. Until the Cell saga happened.
He's my like, fucking boy.
Yeah, and then Cell saga happened. I'm like, no, never mind, guys. I'm Gohan. This is the coolest character, you know?
Dude, Teen Gohan was the shit.
Absolutely. And then, like, the newest movie, like, Toriyama helped with that, and it was awesome. Like, only downside is they did shitty animation for it because they used the computer stuff, but that's it. Like, that's the only real downside to that movie. Otherwise, it's pretty awesome. Did you get to watch it yet?
I didn't.
I'd recommend it as someone that's like, I like Piccolo and I like Gohan.
I would say I love them even.
Yeah, they're very featured very heavily. You would even say they're the main characters. And we get a new we might see a couple new transformations. No spoilers. But yeah, it's a good time, and that's always fun. And then, like, you know, bringing back for Super Master Roshi as like an actual proper threat, even though it makes zero sense. I loved it.
Yeah, when he just got super huge and jacked.
Yeah. And like, yeah, because I mean, I remember in the Saiyan Saga, they were like, you're at a 15. And then he's like, oh, your thing must be broke. It's like, or you're just weak, old man. And then now it's like, oh, you're fighting people way stronger than Vegeta and Nappa. Okay. What were you doing when Tien and Yamcha were getting murdered, bud?
Yeah.
And then the first time Goku turned in Super Saiyan, because I knew it was going to, I knew what Super Saiyan looked like, because we would get like at County Market, they would have magazines that would have Dragon Ball related stuff, and you could see the toys, and they'd be like the gold hair people. I'm like, oh, you're like, oh, that's what Super Saiyan is. But we were pointing to like the Super Saiyan monkey from GT, and we're like, oh, that's what it's gonna be. We're just freaking out over that, and then like it turns out it's just, you know, yellow hair, and we're like, oh, it's still so cool.
Yeah,
I will add, even though GT is not well liked, I always heard the ending was really good, and so like I googled it, what happens at the end, or I watched it on YouTube, you know, and it's like, it's got a damn good ending, because I guess he fights Omega, the evil Shenron, but Goku had already died, but he had made a deal with good Shenron, you know, that type of thing. He beats the bad guy, and then Shenron's like, let's go, Goku, because he didn't want anyone ever uses the Dragon Balls again, so Goku tells everyone bye, and like Piccolo died and went to hell already, and he can never come back, you know? And so then like he had said bye to him in hell and all that stuff, and then he lays on the dragon and he just gets absorbed into the dragon along with the Dragon Balls. And so then later on, there's a movie that came out where it's like, it'd be like Pan's an old woman, everyone else is dead, Pan's an old woman, and she's got a grandson who looks exactly like Goku. And so then that kid is such a wiener, like, you know, is just like afraid of everything. But Pan gets sick, I think his friend gets hurt too, and he's like, I need to get the Dragon Balls to save her. And so then he goes and he finds the 4-star Dragon Ball, which, you know, it's like, well, that's not supposed to be here, it hasn't been here in forever. And then he starts crying because it's not working. Like, there's no dragon showing up. And then Goku shows up. He's like, wait, no, you need all 7 of them, kid. You know, and like just talks to him. He's like, hey, but don't worry, everything's going to be okay. And then like, as he says, yeah, he says something like that. And then like, as he says that, Pan's like, you know, like Goku Jr. And, you know, like, and then he like, he looks, and then Goku's gone, but Pan's healed. So it's, you know, it's like that type of thing. And then he ends up having like, he fights Vegeta Jr. in the tournament, and that's how it ends, is those two fighting. And I'm like, that's nice. That's just a nice ending.
Yeah. Is GT the one that featured Great Saiyan Man like coming back and being like kind of a big part for a bit?
Probably. I didn't watch a lot, because it was like the first arc was Goku, Pan, and Trunks. And it was Kid Goku, and it was just not very good.
Yeah. I really do, like, even if it's not great, I do want to like watch it one of these days.
Yeah. I heard Toriyama helped like after the first arc, because it wasn't well received, and then it got, then he like helped it get better. I've heard that before, so I'm like, oh, maybe if we can struggle through it, we can we can get to the good stuff.
I wanted to say too, back to like Master Roshi being a badass and stuff and helping out, I really liked that tournament where, you know, Roshi was there, they had to get Frieza to help him out because fucking Boo was napping or some stupid shit like that. It was just nice that like pretty much all of them got like their little time to shine again, except for like one or two characters, which kind of like bummed me out.
Your favorite?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what I was getting at. Yeah. But That was a disappointment because I was like, oh man, he's gonna get his time, and he didn't.
You and Yamcha were both like, oh, they're gonna ask him, it's gonna be so good, and then there I was like, no, we're good.
Yeah. Oh well, it was still good.
Yeah.
Well, that brings us to the end of the episode, huh?
Yeah.
Hopefully you guys enjoyed. Also, I forgot this until now. If you guys watched on YouTube last week, for some reason, the end of the episode got cut off, and I have no idea why. So, apologize. Hopefully you... because I saw that it had more views than we usually get. Hopefully you guys caught the ending, you know, on Spotify or wherever you listen. So I'll try to make sure that that doesn't happen this week.
I acted it out for Nick, so he was good.
Oh, nice. Yeah. He played both of us.
Yeah, at his birthday party. They were like asking me to stop, and I was like, no, it's fine, guys. I can do it.
Just 15 more minutes. But anyway. Alrighty, closing plugs. If you would, head on over to facebook.com/twoworldspodcast and give the page a like. You can also follow us on Twitter at @2_worlds_PC and on Instagram at @2worldspod. You can email us at twoworldspodcast@gmail.com. And if you would, subscribe to us on YouTube. We are Two Worlds Podcast on YouTube.
And let us know down below some of your favorite Dragon Ball. Dragon Ball Z, Dragon Ball GT, Dragon Ball Super, Dragon Ball Xenoverse, any of that stuff. Let us know about it. What's some of your favorite stuff? You know, how did it affect your life? Or are you just like, nah, I'm more of a fan of Ariel and her friends instead. That's another thing Akira Toriyama made, but I never watched it.
Or Raleigh.
Oh, okay. My bad.
I did like the crossover. That was fun.
Yeah. Both times, right?
Yeah, both times. But yeah, for realsies, guys, please leave a comment about your favorite Dragon Ball thing, because that is something that Casey and I both care about a lot, and we really would like to know.
But we'd love to say in chat, but like I said, he's got a wolf fang fist me. Bye, guys.
Later.